Hello. If you're listening to this, you know who I am. This is Gary Butterfield, the podcaster, but I'm also Gary Butterfield, the musician, and I'm in a band, and we just put out our third EP. It's called In Today's Dollars. You can find it at Modridge, that's M-O-D-R-I-D-G-E, .bandcamp.com. And all proceeds for this EP, it's got four songs. It's $5, $1.25 a song, more than iTunes. Old iTunes, but it is all proceeds are going to Doctors Without Borders for Gaza shit to make us feel slightly better about it. So if you're looking for something, you can get a little bonus for doing good. Pick up that EP. You can also pick up our other EPs, and that money goes towards drugs and rock and roll.
Goes to your studio sessions coming up.
Yeah, probably. It goes roughly to 1/10. of like studio sessions and stuff. So we're going to record a full length soon. But right now we have this EP, In Today's Dollars, modridge.bandcamp.com.
Get it.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about Super Mario World, which is a platformer developed and published by Nintendo for the SNES in 1991.
Yeah. This is a Gary pick. And this is kind of our first or second redo. Mm-hmm. Kinda.
To be a redo, we have to have done it in the first place. We did something weird instead.
Yeah, we did something stupid instead. The first year where we did paneled at the convention, we set up this game, and we were trying to get all 96 exits with people coming and playing a level each time. And we just asked people what their favorite level was and compiled it all together. Mm-hmm. You can hear that episode. It's a live episode. It's old. It's really old.
It's not even a live episode. We didn't panel. Oh, it was just those recordings.
Well, live because it's live show recording, I guess, yes. Or floor recording.
Yeah.
It's from 2012. So it's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But it means we never actually talked about Super Mario World,
which is weird.
Early on,
we kind of planted our flag in talking about weirdo entries in a series first, like the first Mario game we talked about was Super Mario RPG. The first platformer Mario game we talked about was Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins, which is a solid game, but it is not a foundational text like this is.
No. So we want to get those out of the way as well. And this is my favorite Mario game.
Yeah.
So the, it was certainly 2D, category, even though, and Mario Wonder reminded everybody what good 2D Marios were like.
Yeah.
So it felt like a good time to bring it up.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a premium episode, which means everybody's going to get this first part. And then patrons at $5 or more are going to get the back half.
Right. This is an intimidating game to talk about, Gary.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is a foundational text.
Yeah. What was your like first experience with this? Like, what was your first blush with Super Mario World?
So, abusive stepdad, I had a super shitty stepdad, and the, his family were, rough, and I didn't like them. And I know it's hard to separate how much of that was me being a teen, and just not liking anything. But there was a Christmas over there, and we got to the presents part of the evening, and I opened up a present, and it was Turtles in Time.
Okay.
You know, for Super Nintendo, thus spoiling that I was getting a Super Nintendo, you know, and those were my first two Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. Went back, and I had not really followed this. I was in the pocket for like reading Nintendo Power and video game magazines, but I was also, you know, did not have very stable home life at the time. So, you know, I didn't have that. So I didn't really know very much about Super Mario World going into it. But as you can imagine, going home with those two games, like Turtles in Time is beautiful, mm-hmm. You know, great music, really fun, but doesn't have sticking power.
Right.
This was the game I had for a while to really sink into and then play over and over and just, you know, it's like a chicken wing, right? Like you're done when you want to be done. You know, you can just kind of keep picking meat off of it for a very long time.
Yes.
And it was just really a mind-blowing experience. Like it, mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's I love how it feels. I love the music. I love the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Very, very influential to young gamer Gary.
I was 4 when the Super Nintendo came out. And when this came out here. And maybe, I think possibly my first experience with this was at one of those SNES demo units that they had set up in stores that you can see at that Super Nintendo World exhibit that goes around to conventions and stuff. Like those are out there. You can find it. Love those things. So maybe that was my first time playing it there. But I associate this very much with my dad, who bought me and my brother our Super Nintendo, which came with this, and we also got Starbucks.
And he's an Italian plumber who loves dinosaurs.
We also got Star Fox, so maybe this wasn't right at the launch. I think Star Fox was 90, that might have been 92, I think, something like that. Anyway. But we got that, and then we took it over to my cousin, one of my cousin's houses, and it just, like, played it in the basement all day, and then, like, slept, and then woke up the next day and kept playing it. It's, like, a really fun bonding memory with my dad and with that side of the family. And I was maybe a little bit too young to, like, appreciate what exactly was going on with the like the super cool secret stuff that was happening here. But like, it kind of felt like one of these games where anything could happen, especially as I was watching other people play it and make those discoveries. Right.
Yeah. Like telling all my friends about finding the super secret world.
Yes.
You know, things like that. That's a very fond memory of that. And that, to me, that's the juice that makes this game special. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff, including the partisan debate of Super Mario Brothers 3 versus Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Time to settle it on the game fight.
Because only one game can be good.
Yes. And it's time to decide. So wouldn't you know it, Bowser has kidnapped Princess Peach while she, Mario, and Luigi were on vacation to Dinosaur Land.
Mm-hmm.
This is prior to Jurassic Park coming to theaters.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they didn't understand. And it's time to rescue her. This is before they even, you know, now they kind of do they try to twist up the plot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of refreshing before they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because I never really spent a lot of time playing the Game Boy Advance version of this. But apparently when reading about it, one of the things they added was like a little bit more scene setting for the story. I never felt like that was missing. Like you start up this game and it's just Mario standing beneath the text box that says, oh, he did it again. Go and stop him.
Fuck. You know, like, damn it.
It has nothing to do with why I'm playing this game, right?
Oh, yeah, of course not. Like, in Nintendo, it's weird because Mario is the series that Nintendo has shown the most restraint for just, like, adding extraneous lore and text to it. But even Nintendo, you know, even Mario is not entirely escaped.
Yeah.
This is an era where it was clean. Beautifully clean. Yeah. I remember playing the Game Boy Advance version at least once because I have a distinct memory of Yoshi swallowing the dolphins, which you could do in the Japanese version, and then you can do it in the GBA version.
Huh.
They brought it back.
Ethically problematic.
I mean, no.
Okay.
Like, not really. I'm worried about bigger fish, literally.
Fuck them dolphins.
Specifically a white, gigantic white one. So this is Mario game. Mario likes to run and jump. And he gets power-ups that increase your abilities and also allow you to tank a hit. As kind of a two-tier health system here.
Yes, there's Mario and then Big Mario and then other varieties here.
Mounted Mario.
Yeah, we're going to assume
Punished Mario.
We're We're going to assume that you know Mario with Diamond Dinosaur. We're going to assume you know the basics and talk about what is differentiated here. As a follow-up to Super Mario Brothers 3, we do have an overworld map with nodes and paths, with the nodes acting as your main levels, which we're going to call courses here because that's what they call them in the game. And all the magic happens on those courses, as you would understand. Mm-hmm. But the way that that plays with the overworld map is one of the coolest things that this game does, because the stage's icons will tell you what kind of level it is, and does it have multiple exits?
Yes. A regular exit will allow you to go one way, and you can go through most of the game, not mm-hmm. all of the game, just doing regular exits and go straight through the game and have a perfectly fine time.
Yes.
Secret exits are only required a couple times. Secret exits will take you to hidden areas that will either let you bypass things, experience trickier levels, warp around, go off the map.
Mm-hmm.
The map expands as a result of your exploration.
Yep.
Which was really, really cool.
It will change. It's
still cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, I get to, oh, like here's a lake. Why couldn't Mario go in that lake? Well, you can.
Yeah. And it's a swimming level. You know, Yeah,
there's a swimming level down there. Mario can jump in the lake. Mm-hmm. You just have to figure out how to get down to the lake.
Yeah.
You know, it's for a desperately unrealistic game. Mm-hmm. There's like a layer less of abstraction.
Yes.
To this than previous Mario's, where it feels a little bit less like VR missions mm-hmm. just because you exist in the world.
Yeah.
There's a touch of that in Mario 3, you know, with having to smash through barriers and stuff to find secrets, secret areas. But it's much more extended here.
It's so much easier to place any given level in a context, because roughly where it is on the map or what's around it will show you what's going to be there, right? Like underwater levels, will there be a little pool of water there that Mario mm-hmm. is in, up to his, you know, up to his shoulders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got waiting pool.
And this is the big differentiator and why I love this game so much, because this puts all of this emphasis on exploration and finding secrets. This was somewhat present in 3, you know, like you could squat on certain blocks and get behind the level or whatever.
That's Millen's secret castle bullshit, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that is the straddle.
Yeah.
This is doing. That's doing Tower of Draga nonsense. You know, there's nothing, no way for you to intuit that. Here you're literally exploring and just finding the edge of the explorable area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I could go under that pipe.
Yeah.
Like the game is very cleverly signaling that you could swim under there.
Mm-hmm.
If I notice it, I'm rewarded.
Yeah.
By a thing. It's not, again, Draga bullshit.
Yeah. That's not a block. That's actually a background. I could totally run past that.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and some of them are mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're the things where you have to go below the checkpoint.
Yep.
And stuff, and jump off of a Yoshi. Like some of the stuff is tricky. There's a level of a little bit more like demanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit more demanding in terms of these secrets.
Yeah.
For good and bad, there is some Milan secret castle Draga bullshit with one level where it's all depends on like what time you finish it in.
Right.
You know, how many, you know, they don't totally shed that, mm-hmm. but it's less of that.
Yes. Yeah. And replaying this, it had been a while since I had done a complete replay through, did shine light on me for like why I like 2 so much, because you have some of that present there, right? Like, oh, you can go through a secret area and get to like the back of the Birdo fight, right?
Yeah. That stuff's really fun.
Yeah.
For me. I, you know, very much appreciate that. Like Mario is never going to be Celeste.
Right.
It's never going to be about pure platforming. I don't think that I've never engaged with the series that way.
Mm-hmm.
These levels are big. This is another big differentiator between 3. One of the things when we went back and played 3 that I was, you know, surprised by going back to it is how quick those levels are.
Yeah.
Some of them are like, you know, 20 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
These levels are big. They have midway checkpoints, sometimes multiples.
Yeah.
And there's a save system. You mm-hmm. to save your progress. You're not meant to beat this in one sitting.
No,
necessarily.
And that was also like a lot of what's present in Super Mario World is demonstrating like cool things about the SNES, such as like, oh, more games are going to have save batteries now. Like even a Mario game is going to have this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about Super Mario 3 level design, like each of those is solely focused around like one gimmick. Like each of those is pretty atomic. Any given stage in this is going to have multiple screens, and each of those screens is going to kind of have their own little twist, right?
Yes.
You know, that would have been like maybe one level in Super Mario 3.
Yeah. And there's a little bit less gimmickry, I guess. You know, like there's nothing quite to me as striking as like Giant World.
Yes.
In Super Mario 3, right? Like where it feels a little bit like it's breaking the rules. What you trade for that, though, is a greater variety within the level and just having to engage with the level. You know, not being able to just sprint past everything.
Yes.
Like because you're stopping to explore, because these levels are a bit longer, you have to, like for me, I had to slow down and appreciate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I said like earlier, like other Mario levels kind of feel like VR missions. Like that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Like this does not, it's hard to wireframe this for me.
Yeah.
So lots of new enemies in this, some of which have come back, some of which have not, but it's a really great goofy crew.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these are complex or huge.
Yes.
You know, one of the first levels, you immediately get introduced to the bonsai bill, the gigantic bullet bill, which is just a great moment.
Like, I'm never going to be able to jump over this. I have to duck. Yeah. I have to take cover in a Mario game.
Yeah. Fuck. You know, I'm back in the shit. You know, it's exactly like I'm basically, you know, back in the jungle and I'm remembering all those memories.
The marquee power up here is the Cape Feather, one of the best power ups in video games for my money.
Yep.
This is still
my favorite Mario power up.
Yeah. I love this because there's an element of mastery to it, right? It is not just tappa tappa to, you know, like the raccoon tail to give you some lift off, you know, especially after you get like a run up. In this one, you do have to get a run up to even begin using it. Otherwise it is just a glide that slows down your descent, which makes platforming much easier. But like when you are in the air, suddenly like the direction that you press determines your heading, and you can fly for a very long time by doing dives and then ballooning back up and then doing dives again to keep your momentum there. It's a little 2D pilot wings.
If you time it right, you can just gain altitude as well, which is difficult, but you can do it. It's a weird thing to compare this to for this game being so old, but we just did Spider-Man, right? Taking a game and making the traversal be slightly expressive and skill-based does a lot.
It does
to me. The Mario, the raccoon Mario, I like how he looks quite a bit, but just being able to just fly for a little bit of time by tappa tappa, is kind of a bummer to this kind of weird and also strangely intuitive, like what you're doing, you know, that tapping back to the wow, you know, to get that little, pulling back to catch a little bit of wind.
Yeah.
Once you get it, you just get it. It has that essential gamer verb thing of like riding a bike.
Yeah.
Where like now that, you know, I put this down for a few years. I probably beat this game more than I beat any other video game other than like a roguelike, you know, more than like other than like Isaac. And, you know, put it down. I haven't done a complete playthrough for years, you know, like yourself, and picked up. I'm just like, oh, you know, I know how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a skill that I have to skillfully maintain height and gain height.
Yeah.
In this, it's not the hardest thing in the world. I'm not trying to like gamer brag about it, but it's real neat to have this new gamer verb just pressed into my skeleton.
Yeah. You know? Talking about it being intuitive, there's something about the animation on it as well. And just the way that, you know, is physically modeled, it does feel very material, right?
Yes.
It does, you know, it does feel like something a body could do, even though that's ridiculous. Right.
Yeah. Super ridiculous. And like, as I found out,
Broke
both my ankles as a teenager trying this. It's very special to me.
As a
thing. It also plays nice with the exploration. You have to use it to get up into areas, and not just, you know, up in the sky. Sometimes you have to do it to get into small spaces. You know, you can use it to bypass things like sequence break.
Yeah.
You know, if you're good with it, you can use it to get into areas before you're supposed to. Another unique power up is the pee balloon. This is rare. This makes Mario, it's basically the fizzy lifting drink from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
It is an inflation fetish fizzy lifting drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's there's no reason to inflate somebody. I was thinking about this, right? Because I was thinking about inflation fetish and how whenever I see somebody inflated, I'm like, oh, fetish. But I think it's because of there's not any other reason to do it. I don't think there are actually that many people. I'm not trying to erase anybody who's into inflation fetishing, but I don't think it's actually that common. You know,
right.
I feel like I probably met way more foot people than inflation people. But why? What else is inflation good for? You know, like it doesn't happen in other contexts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's
the only game in town.
If it feels especially common because of early internet, like gawking, like rubbernecking.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, this is different from the pee balloon that got me fired from the Sizzler.
Yeah, exactly. That was a broad new experiment in buffet technology. The Sizzler slip and slide 2000 gets shut down in one day. So the pee balloon shows up every once in a while, and that ends up becoming also, we'll talk about those levels. Mm-hmm. Those end up becoming these like very clever, daisy chaining power-ups together usually.
Yes.
Their big innovation, and they fucking love this, is they introduce Yoshi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the best version of Yoshi.
Yes.
This is Yoshi before Yoshi talks very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that makes me sound like a parody of myself, but like, I think it's weird that Mario plays tennis with his horse. I think that's fucked up. I'm still old school that way. It's not right. Here, he is a mount. He's a power-up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not his own guy. When you're Yoshi, you can gobble up enemies with your tongue. You can smash more durable enemies in one hit or bounce off them. And if you get hit, you just fly off Yoshi. Yeah.
And it's basically
a reusable health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yoshi gets spooked because he is a horse.
Yep.
I cannot stress this enough. Yoshi is a horse.
He has a saddle. Yeah.
He has a saddle. Like, this is Yoshi. Mm-hmm. Like, God, I hate Yoshi being like, you know, just like making all these gross noises and like super striking.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
Cookies? It's been so long.
Are you on safari?
I forget. Where do you come down on Yoshi's Island? Like,
oh, I love Yoshi's Island. I do as well. The sound effects are gross.
Yes.
Okay. I love Yoshi's Island.
Yes.
Great video game.
Yeah.
That Yoshi is not, I much prefer the devolved animal Yoshi.
The companion. Yeah.
Yes. You know, like, but a companion like a horse.
Yes.
Not a companion like, you know, hey, do you want to go do laser tag? You know, I'm busy. I'm a horse and I've got a horse job. You know,
companion, comma, expendable. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, very expendable. And there just being tons of them, not just being a guy.
Yeah.
This version of Yoshi is great. Mm-hmm. To me,
Yoshi can get special abilities temporarily while holding shells in his mouth. If it's just a green mm-hmm. shell, it does nothing. You can spit it out if you want to, or you can hold a blue one in your mouth to get like temporary flying. If you have yellow ones, you'll do like an AOE stomp, and red will let you do a spread shot fireball. This is in addition to special chromatic Yoshis that get those abilities regardless of what kind of shell.
They patched out the gem Yoshis, the psionic gem Yoshis. They'll bring them back though.
Yeah. Fezben had to advocate for them.
Yeah. having these, those special Yoshis, that's something the game doesn't really explain.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really explain this shell thing either.
Yeah.
There are like little help things in this game, little signs, mm-hmm. but there's this really great sense of like, you know, the first time I ate a blue shell and then I noticed the little wings.
Mm-hmm.
on my Yoshi was really cool.
Yeah.
Like that felt like I found something that shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's also like the flashing multicolor shells
that disco shell.
Yeah. The disco shell that lets you do all of them at once.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Love the disco shell.
Yeah.
This is the first game where Mario has a spin jump.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two different jumps in this. This will either let you bounce off or kill tougher enemies or destroy special blocks. Mm-hmm. By jumping on them. It also, if you have the cape, it whips around and will hit things.
Yeah. Become a little whirling dervish there.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a kind of gating. A lot of stuff is hidden by blocks underfoot that you need to spin jump. You cannot destroy them if you are Tiny Mario, if you are Mario comma regular.
Yeah. And you have to get off of a Yoshi.
Yes.
To do so.
Right.
This is the first Mario where you can bank a power up, mm-hmm. Like this in level.
Yes.
Like you have that whole inventory in Mario 3. In this one, you can have one backup
mm-hmm.
there. You press select and call down the thing. Or if you take a hit, it will drop down for you to get it. I really like this as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're always, Mario levels are not necessarily made to be super hard, and they just give you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mario is the king of on-site procurement. in fact, in certain terms of video game characters, I think he's probably the most famous for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to deal with that, I really like.
Yeah.
Like I can just go into this with capes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? Oh, you want to be the fireball? I'd prefer not.
Yeah, it's, you know? It's a way to make this game easy, which I think some people bristle under. When people say, oh, this game is too easy, they're talking about kind of a cheesy strategy, which is, well, I can just go back to the top secret area and always have a Yoshi and two Cape Feathers on me at any given time, you know? But there's a little tax for that, right?
Yeah, there's a little tax, and like the difficulty or the friction in this game is not dying from getting hit. It's finding stuff.
Yes.
You know, like Mario games forever have been essentially your unlimited lives, right? Like you don't even try and you end this game with like 60 lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't do anything. It just happens, right? And that's been true for a long time.
Yes.
In Mario games. It's not necessarily about it being difficult to get past the thing. Mm-hmm. And we do have the challenge fuck levels that do interesting things.
Yeah, yeah.
That come later. You know, but generally it's about the exploration. It's right. about finding. It's a puzzle, you know, in some ways.
Yeah. At least the version of it that I prefer, right? And
yes.
That is the main line that the Super Mario Brothers 3 versus Super Mario World debate comes down on.
I think it's a big part of it is that one is more pure platforming than this is. I love Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't feel like it's that much of a pure platformer itself either.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like I play these games fairly similarly.
Yeah.
My secret suspicion is always that Super Mario Brothers 3 preferers are reacting to that game being like 10% faster.
Oh, yeah.
Like your Mario is a little faster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think it's a game feel thing on some level. I'm not trying to patronize any of those people.
No,
I just
no.
think on some level they're reacting to game feel, you know, or some of them may be reacting to game feel.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It's not nothing. I mean, we've talked about how Mario game feel, there is variation between them, but like that is what differentiates this from so many other platformers that just don't rise up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what, you know, this is better than MC Kids, because of that, you know?
Yeah. Each level ends with this weird gate. I have no idea how to describe this thing because it doesn't resemble anything in real life.
It's a thick goalpost. It's like a pole vault.
Yeah.
Goalpost thing, but it moves and you're supposed to hit the pole, not go over the pole.
Right. I always thought it was like, oh, I need to break the tape. It's like a finish line, right?
Yes. But the tape's going, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. It's slippery tape. As opposed to grippy tape. But you've got to aim to hit that bar when it is really high up. The higher it is, the more special star points you're going to get. Or you can just miss it entirely and you'll get coins for enemies that are on the screen when that happens.
Yes.
When you get 100 of these special points, you go into this mini game where you have to hit boxes to kind of match and make like slot machine lines out of power-up blocks. And this will gain you a number of one-ups. That contributes to this being especially easy and basically being infinite one-ups, is because every two or three levels you are going to go into one of these and maybe get like five at a throw.
Yeah. In Super Mario 3, you gained five one-ups every three levels as well, like on top of this. This has been a Mario thing forever.
Yes.
Then you eventually become the Giga Chad, where you try to avoid getting these because you don't want to do the mini game.
Right.
Like I don't need any one-ups.
It's frustrating.
Like stop doing this. You know, it's real fun to watch speedrunners of this game who are not doing the insane cheats in this, because they really try to avoid this. And then if something happens and they get enough stars and they have to do the little mini game, it's a big like audience groan thing. I remember the first year I watched a speedrunner do this at Games Done Quick, a guy came out and started playing the game show jingle on accordion.
Oh no.
As soon as the guy got the 100 stars to kind of torture him. It was really cute.
Oh, that's great. I love
it. Was very wholesome.
Just stunting on him.
Yeah, it was real good. And just what a wholesome stunt. You accidentally unlocked a bonus stage.
So there are regular courses and there's variation between them, like what kind of biome they're in. We'll talk about those as we get there. But there are also like these standout like midway challenge levels, and also the castle that acts as a capper for the individual islands make up this this world, that make up Dinosaur Land. There's only
one of these Koopa kids.
Yeah. Although like the first island is like Yoshi, this is where this kind of dinosaur lives. It takes a turn into everything is food themed after this.
Yes, it did for some reason.
Yes.
It's not the most like world coherent dinosaur land. Chocolate and also triceratopses. So there are also smaller challenges. These smaller fortresses, these end up with a fight against a mini boss. Boom Boom is the traditional mini boss in this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, this is four dinosaurs called Resnors. Through this. I really love this fight.
That's great.
It's real silly. It reminds me a lot of Mario 2 fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having to hit from below and hitting all four of them, you know, while the platform is disappearing.
Yeah.
It's like a Mauser fight or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a very traditional, just jump on a Koopa Kid three times.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mario has never done boss fights super well.
No,
you
know,
in a general sense, like the best ones are the gigantic Bowser Kaizu fights.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but like, it just doesn't happen very often.
Right. This is neat for two reasons. A, the fight changes between the first half and the second half if you don't defeat the Reznors, quickly enough,
yes.
Because eventually you are like jumping and trying to get into position on these rotating platforms. The other thing is, again, we need to talk about what was mind blowing at the time. Like, this might've been the first game you saw that had rotating sprites.
Yes.
Big rotating sprites.
Very much so.
Yeah. So those are smaller castles. The big castles are the what cap off the individual ones. These often have strong gimmicks. This is where you're going to see cool stuff like the climbing fences, things like that. And these end in fights against the Koopalings.
Yeah, introduced in this game.
Hmm?
The
Koopalings were in were in 3.
You're right. Yeah, you should. You're right. They're back though.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. You're right. They're back in this game. It's Bowser's Shitty Kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all weird, named after very weird pop culture references.
Yeah.
Either musicians or Martin Downey Jr. and no points in between. It's very strange.
Yeah.
This is, however, Ghost House.
Mm. God, I love Ghost Houses, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, finally introducing ghost houses.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Mario staple. This is great for aesthetics, because of Boo, but because this is the dedicated puzzle space.
Yes.
And this has been a Mario staple since.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a little bit of a layer of puzzle, but if you want to have a tricky puzzle level,
yeah,
it's a ghost house, baby.
Yeah. Oh, this room seems to be repeating. There must be something I am missing that I need to do to kind of break this cycle. Or no, they're not exactly alike. I need to find what is different.
Yes.
This is where a bunch of bonus exits are going to be as well, because there are multiple ways to get through this. You might stumble across, it is not clear what is the main exit and what is the bonus one. So yeah, I love me a ghost house with all my heart.
Yeah. Ghost houses are great. And this is also that kind of cute, spooky side of Mario generally. Like, this is, you know, where you get, Luigi's Mansion.
Yes.
Stuff has its origins here.
Yeah. Aesthetically and visually, Super Mario World is amazing. I love it. It is colorful. It is expressive. It is really clean and super easy
super
to
clean.
Read.
Clean is what I was going to say. Everything is kind of, I think some people react against that.
Yeah.
You know, cause there's probably, you know, there's the rivalry, the Super Mario World and Mario 3 rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably also a Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
Super Mario World rivalry. And those kids, you know, their parents were cousins. that's a very non-clean.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the least clean looking
Super
Nintendo game. I much prefer this, like the flat colors.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to everything being like aggressively shaded, huge primary things that were meant to evoke the buttons on the Famicom.
Yes.
Like the four Famicom buttons, and do so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a provocative thought while I was playing this, and I don't know that I stand behind it entirely, but my suspicion, you know, my gut feel about this, I don't know if a platformer ever needs to be more detailed than this.
Like, it definitely, it can be and still work, you know, but it definitely doesn't need to be. You know, this has the sense of place comes from the world design and how areas interface. Like, I found the way down to the beach. Now I'm underwater.
Mm-hmm.
It straddles that line between not being messy, so it doesn't end up looking visually confusing, but not feeling so wireframe as to be VR missions.
Yes.
You know, and that's not a world versus three comparison.
No.
You know, in that respect, I feel like, you know, Mario 3's, some of those stages, you know, did not have this feeling, and we're not overly busy either.
Yeah.
Like, Mario tends not to be overly busy.
Yeah.
But if I compare this with like a Donkey Kong Country or even like a Sonic, I understand Sonic's going for different things.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a added just kind of busyness and complication, you know, complicatedness to it that doesn't fit my aesthetic preferences.
The big difference between 3 and this is that this has background, like it has background and parallax to it. Which I feel is additive in a way that the solid colors of 3 are not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good.
Yeah.
The music's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
in this. Koji Kondo, Goat, wrote the theme for Super Mario World. Most tracks are variations on that theme.
Yeah.
They're really numerous and wide ranging. You know, it can be hard to notice that they are variations, but they are basically the same theme.
Yes.
And something that blew my mind as a kid, you first notice it, is that the soundtrack is kind of adaptive. If you have Yoshi, bongos show up. Paul Simon showed up with the entire population of Africa to record an appropriative album on the Yoshi. really cute little thing in Mario Maker 2.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull these music in and you can bring Yoshi into levels he was never meant to go. So you can hear the bongo version of the Ghost House theme and the bongo version of the Fortress theme.
Yeah. It's really fun.
I find that really cute.
Yeah.
Again, God, it's so pure.
The castle theme in this game is one of my favorite pieces of video game music.
It's great. Really good.
That's so good.
It's super good. And then just imagine Paul Simon siling up with you know, some indigenous people, just, you know. Really put a gapper on that.
Gosh, he's gonna make the catchiest best album that you're gonna like have to caveat every time you fucking phrase it.
It's a masterpiece. Yeah. However,
it's a masterpiece. Yeah. Asterisk.
Yeah, you know.
Koji Kondo was very excited to compose for this again because first crack at Super Nintendo, which had a completely different sound system, working outside of Square and Triangle and noise waves for the first time, and composing music for a system that could play 8 different sounds at once and had sampling to it.
Yeah, there's also just in kind of ephemera you can look up. They in like the Nintendo leak, the original samples that are not compressed or degraded in any way are found, and someone has redone the soundtrack.
Yeah,
those original samples, you can find those on YouTube, and that's great.
I like that as a curiosity. The compression on this through the obviously. Yeah. I made a note about that later on, so I'm happy that you had it. Yeah,
yeah. It's just, but it's a great little again curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talking about the development of Super Mario World is tricky because this has been documented everywhere. Also, this game has been dissected to hell and back. Every little technical vagary of this is kind of known and documented somewhere. If you want to get super detailed about this, I would recommend the excellent Twitter account, Super Mario Broth. Which is nothing but tweets of like Mario, trivia in the most literal sense. Right.
That person's doing the Lord's work. It's one of those gifts to the world Twitter accounts. So the development on this game began in 1986, 1987. It took 3 years to finish. Directed by Takashi Tezuka and produced by Shigeru Miyamoto. And this game had a staff of 10 developers.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely, remade what Mario would be and what platformers would be.
Yep.
10 folk.
10 people. You could fit them in this room.
Fewer people. You could fit them in the polyphonic spree. Like it's.
This is 1/5 of the broken social scene.
Yes. It's half of that polycule that New York Times keeps interviewing.
This was being developed in the lead up to the Super Nintendo, and the game was being developed alongside it. And Nintendo wanted their first Mario game on this to be a kind of show off, a way to demonstrate these new features. But the team also needed to work with development tools that were not finished. And one of the reasons we got a Super Mario World that feels so different from Mario 3 is that to learn these tools, the team started by porting Super Mario 3 to the system and found that just doing a visual update did not make it feel different at all. So they said, we need to make this feel bigger and better.
Yeah. Play differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yoshi was obviously a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information about that. Miyamoto wanted to include a rideable dinosaur as early as the first Mario, but they couldn't do it.
No.
I don't know. It's very funny to me, the idea that of course he rides a dinosaur. He's in mushrooms and he's a plumber. You know, just as a third axis of weirdness for Mario. The bricks were people. Of course they're fucking people.
What else kills turtles? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your head in the fucking game.
Yeah, dinosaurs and plumbers. Mushrooms.
Yoshi is based off of sketches that Miyamoto originally made while designing a lizard enemy for the incredibly forgettable map chase game Devil World.
Yes.
Yeah.
A weird curiosity there.
Yeah.
And Yoshi, early Yoshi, you can find him.
Mm-hmm.
He's ugly. He's gross.
Yeah.
He's got a long lizard face. Like, he looks nasty. He looks like the Super Mario 92 movie, Yoshi.
I have a huge fondness for early Yoshi, Gary.
Yuri Yoshi is really hard for me to look at. He looks too much like, he looks like a background character in like The Wizard of Id or something like that. Like the court dragon from The Wizard of Id.
He's just got like a real like turtle face too.
Like, I guess it's a living. He's constantly doing that
He does have like some of these same dimensions as like a Mario 2 kind of thing. Like there's a little bit more Birdo in early Yoshi too.
Birdo's very round though. Like Birdo's thick. Yoshi's got that long snoot. Early Yoshi's got that weird flappy Jim Henson mouth.
I'm looking at him. It's a long neck. He has actually a very short snout on him.
Yeah. Okay. Let me pull up an early Yoshi. Okay. I was thinking of a not the sprite version. The concept art
sketch. Yoshi. Okay.
Yeah. That Yoshi looks a little goofy, even though he looks very, very out of it. Like this Yoshi is just on a bunch of poppers. I don't like poppers, Yoshi.
This Yoshi's dilated.
Dilated Yoshi is too much for me, actually. So I'm back where I was. There's a Yoshi that has like a long mouth that's really gross that I've seen before. Anywho. Instead, we got the Yoshi we got.
Right.
Love the one you're with.
Yeah. Yoshi was almost a horse because Miyamoto loves Westerns. There were sketches of Mario riding a horse around at around this time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoshi was almost named Kibi or Lizard Buddy in Japan. I like Lizard Buddy quite a bit.
Lizard Buddy's cute.
Yeah.
Other weird little bit of thing in development. When you use the tongue in this, it makes a very unique sound effect, and Mario puts his hand out. Originally, in the animations, this was him hitting Yoshi, like you would a horse, to make the horse do a thing.
Right.
But then they changed it. So the sound effect used to have like a pop. And they're like, no, we don't want that. Since Mario doesn't have fingers anyway, let's just call this a point.
Yeah.
And then just have it make not that noise.
Yes.
So canonically, Mario is pointing. Eat that.
Yes.
Eat that. It does look a lot like he's smacking him on the ears, being like, you fucking stick out your mouth and put your tongue out or I'm going to hit you more. You beast of burden.
Stick out your mouth.
Stick your mouth out onto that Goomba or I will beat you within a fucking inch of your life, you horrible pack animal. That was the original version. And then it switched.
This side of Mario would not be that cruel.
Peter Mario.
I didn't know where to put this, but we almost didn't get the cape. They put the raccoon tail in this first, but decided to elaborate on the cape, which is good.
I love the cape.
Miyamoto is not entirely satisfied with this game, is an opinion you could only have when you are on the inside of it, I think.
Yes.
But Miyamoto felt like it was rushed, especially toward the end.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Choco Island's a little shorter.
Yeah.
Than usual, and it doesn't have like the end stage is not as long, but I consider like all of the stuff with the special world and Star World to be like end matter, and then it doesn't feel rushed at all to me.
Right.
Yeah. This has been dissected and like absolutely dug around, completely torn apart. So we know a lot about cutting room floor shit. Ordinarily there are levels that would have no Yoshi flags, or you couldn't have certain colors of Yoshi in there, which is troubling. signs everywhere. There's signs. They got rid of those.
Right. There are also doors that only small Mario could pass through. This is one of the first things that was unleashed or uncovered, and was put back into like ROM hacks, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. This gigantic dissection was aided a lot in 2020's Nintendo Giga Leak. You might not know what that is. A bunch of stuff leaked.
Yes.
Including source code for this game. People have reassembled this into what might have been a prototype version of it. Like a theoretical prototype.
Yeah. Neat little curiosity along with that, soundtrack as it was meant to be heard using the clean samples, right?
Yeah.
I made air quotes around meant to be heard, and people didn't hear it because that doesn't make sense.
They're air quotes. Yes. Yeah. Meant to be heard. You have to do it with your voice. Meant to be heard.
Meant to, ooh, look at me.
You got to do like an audio. Mm-hmm. Air quotes. Yeah, but again, fun curiosity.
Yeah.
This has been re-released a bunch of times, mm-hmm. Including on the Game Boy Advance. It's Super Mario Advance 2 there, which is a fun curiosity. If you're a Super Mario World super fan, mm-hmm. It's worth playing. Getting that extra set dressing and stuff is interesting, even if it's not better.
I can't stand it because they include Mario voice samples in it.
It's really hard.
It's pretty rough.
I part of me likes it just as it gives me ammunition, you know, like it's just like, man, stop making these things talk. Like, see what happens. You get this shit. You get Toad like grunting.
Yeah. You get
like, every 2 seconds.
You get Minish Cap where like you've got the Link stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just to,
it's awful.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
You shut them up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They're just little guys. They just run around. They don't need to talk.
Super Mario World is not
basically I want Yoshi to be a horse, but on some level I want Mario to be a horse as well.
I want everything.
It's a
to
real
be a horse.
Sorry to borrow you kind of like, kind of situation. Like the Equisapien Nintendo Revolution is what I want. Samus should have a gigantic horse cock and also just be a beast of burden.
Yep.
Everyone should watch Sorry to Bother You.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't want them to have inner lives. Really.
No, I don't want them to express themselves at all.
No.
Yeah, they're video game characters. They're meant to go around, be little guys going around.
He's a little guy.
Yeah. ROM hacks are huge for this. There had been ROM hacks before, but this is, you know, along with Pokemon, I think, a game whose legacy is broadly defined by ROM hacks as well. You know, like the, you know, Kaizo Mario World is where we get the description for Kaizo, that word meaning like trollishly difficult games, you know, especially custom games, right?
Yeah. And Nintendo knows about this. Mm-hmm. First of all, you know, because Mario Maker, which was primarily used for that reason, but also there are a bunch of Kaizo tricks that happen in the special worlds of this. I was surprised by how many advanced, you know, kind of little things I'd seen in Kaizo videos, mm-hmm. That are required for those later levels.
Yes.
You know, it's not as harsh, obviously. This mm-hmm. is much easier than that, but they were taking things from Nintendo designers.
Yes.
And we saw this also as early as Lost Levels, mm-hmm. you know, actual Super Mario 2, where, you know, the designers were like, we can find a bunch of ways to make this very fiendish.
Yeah.
You know, they had explored that. They were smart enough and they explored that possibility space. It wasn't something fans just decided to,
yeah,
you know, came up with out of the ether.
It's a really funny feedback loop as well, because like the developers, they know and understand their mechanics, right? And they know roughly how hard it can get, just because they know, you know, like, oh, momentum works this way. Getting into this particular space works this way. And they could make it really hard, but it needs to be a game that has a big ramp up or whatever. And, you know, then that knowledge of the way those systems work go to the fans and developers, who then take that and then, you know, go way further than the developers ever would be willing to.
Even when the developers do go further with it, like the tradition with more recent Mario games has been to have the main game be easy and then have challenge levels at the end that the developers came up with. And those are hard. Like, those aren't fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not Kaizo things. Like,
no.
You know, gamers will always find a way to push it.
Yes.
To the limit. It's our credo. It's on our flag.
Do not fuck with us.
Do not fuck with us. We're not horses. We're gamers. So Nintendo followed this up with Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. This is 1995. Mm-hmm. We talked about this way back in 2013, mm-hmm. episode 38. Great game in
love
its own
it.
Right. You know, beautiful music, really fun mechanics in that as well.
Yeah. And then Nintendo would leave 2D Mario games behind for far too long.
You know,
Mario 64 came out and that was a huge hit as well. Then Mario Sunshine, and we didn't get 2D Mario officially from Nintendo, in a main entry until 2006, when New Super Mario Brothers came out on the DS and spawned its own kind of underwhelming mini series of New Super Mario Brothers games. Yeah.
New Super Mario Brothers games are interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, someday I want to do one
just
because they are, I think they're fascinating. I think that like the fandom, there's been an overcorrection against them.
Yes.
Like they're, you know, because you're comparing them to the best games of all time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard not to, like, at the time they were fun for a video game,
mm-hmm.
like New Super Mario Brothers. I want to just do some Mario. shit I hadn't done in a long time. Like, it's, I had a great time.
It really scratched the itch. Like,
super scratched the itch. Yeah. And then they do start experimenting with them. Like, I am I'm like the world's biggest defender of New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yes.
The coin one.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, that is a game that is playing with your lizard brain reaction to the coin noise from Mario, which they spent years genetically engineering into us, and just being like, how do we, you know, when you nut, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and that I'm calling my shot right now. It's Babe Ruth pointing his bat at your dick and being like, once you nut, I am going to keep going. Like, I'm the Bambino and I'm not fucking around. Yeah. Like, it's a really interesting game.
Yeah.
Here. But they're not nearly as good as this, and they're not as good as Mario Wonder.
Yeah.
They're just interesting and good enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm a defender of New Super Mario Brothers U as well. Yeah. Like, just in terms of sheer stage variety. As it goes. Yeah.
And like, ultimately they, you know, I, on the record of this, like, they started splitting the difference mm-hmm. with the 3D and 2D ones. And that's the sweet spot for me in terms of modern Mario. Yeah. Like, I like 3D Land and 3D World more than I liked Odyssey.
Yeah.
More than I like Sunshine,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, that's the other thing, you know, the other big tentpole Mario defining game, like, we have to do Mario 64 at some point.
Yes.
Which I'm looking forward to, because it's a game I don't like as much as everyone else likes, but I do think it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Mario has been doing fine for a while. Like, it's, you know, Wonder was a huge return to form. I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder's great. We'll do it someday.
Yeah.
But this is, it never got too bad, no. other than when there just weren't any.
Right.
You know, for that decade.
Yeah. Mario will generally serve you well.
Yeah, he's a good bud. And that's going to be it for our preview section. If you're hearing this, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you the rest of this episode and all of the other premium episodes.
There's lots of them. Yeah.
And more. All the time, once a month.
Yeah, and whole bonus shows like Unfilmable or Real Lich Hours, our podcast about Baldur's Gate 3, or coming up, Bonfireside Chat's coming back because we have Shadow of the Erdtree. $5 is where it's at, unless you want to do $10 and get Adaptation Decay, our show about video game movies and TV shows and stuff, or Quackstack, the show we do with our producer, Gwen.
Yeah, you know, both of which are come out once a month. You know, which isn't tons of time, but we understand, you know, that's, you don't want the faucet to turn off.
Yeah.
You want to support us. We want to throw those in there for you.
Yes.
If you're hearing this, if you are not demographically identical to us and you have a project or a product you'd like us to shout out, send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. I'd be happy to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of those there, but I still need to research them. That's the, you know, something I end up doing just to make sure nobody like gets us, you know, here, you know, and also I don't want to endorse something
bad.
You know, so that's on me. I've been sick, so I haven't done that yet. So, but still come in. So it might be, you know, like a month before you hear it, but send it in.
Yes. If you have thoughts about Super Mario World, it is too late to write in. However, it is not too late to write in about Maze games, which are Driver San Francisco, Plague Inc., Realms of the Haunting, and a premium episode for that month is Tunic. Go to duckfeed.tv/contacts and use the button there. Try to write in if you have thoughts about multiple games, separate them into multiple responses, and keep them brief and specific.
Yeah, we'd appreciate that. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen, who edited this episode.
Thank you, Gwen.
And we'll see you next week with The Dispatch.
Bye.